This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Cherry Hill Volvo is honored to sponsor the Rich Zeoli podcast. We thank Rich for informing and entertaining all of us. Rich Zeoli, 1210 Talk Radio and Cherry Hill Volvo, an absolutely amazing team.
Now, the revolution will be broadcast. This is the next generation of talk. Now, this is 60 Minutes of Nonstop Talk with Rich Zeoli.
President says it's time to open up schools, and they may withhold aid to states that don't. We're also pulling out of the World Health Organization. And will the coronavirus be reclassified from a pandemic to an epidemic? I'll explain all that. But first, here on this hour of Nonstop Talk, welcome back. 855-839-1210, facebook.com/Zeoli Show, and on Twitter at Rich Zeoli. Let me first welcome back to the program my friend Doug Steinhardt. He is the chairman of the New Jersey Republican State Committee. Mr. Chairman, good morning. So where are you right now?
Same place I've been for the last 24 hours, Rich Zeoli, which is sitting outside the Flemington Motor Vehicle Agency with my 17-year-old son, together with about 500 other New Jerseyans trying to get a driver's license.
24 hours you've been outside the MVC. You're one of the most powerful guys in the state.
I'm a dad first. I'm a dad. I'm a husband. You do what you got to do. So I'm here with my son doing what every other dad and mom around the state is trying to do right now, which is figure out why their governor left them all in the lurch, sitting outside of motor vehicle agencies around the state, not doing his job. 4 months of full pay for 400,000 public sector employees, and they couldn't come up with a plan to reopen motor vehicle. No COVID plan, no long-term care facility plan, no reopening plan, and no motor vehicle commission plan. Rather ironic, I guess, that Governor Murphy yesterday blamed the people in line for the long lines, kind of like blaming 1.3 million New Jerseyans for being unemployed, for all the businesses that are shuttered for being closed, and for 6,500 veterans and senior citizens for dying in long-term care facilities. The blame belongs to one person, Rich, and that's Governor Murphy.
Yeah, well said, Doug. He's absolutely incompetent. I mean, the guy's a buffoon every day with his meandering press conferences, his threats to people, his belittling advice about wash your hands, like we don't know that already. And then the absolute failures, the nursing home deaths and this motor vehicle failure. So as you're waiting in line for 24 hours with your 17-year-old son to get his dream, every kid just wants to get their license. It's like it's such a great moment in our lives. I still remember the day I got my license. How's everybody feeling out there? You talking to other dads, other
there's
moms?
A lot
how
of
they
angry
feeling?
People.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of angry people in New Jersey. A lot of frustrated people. They're tired of the governor's hypocrisy. They're tired of a governor who not only thinks he's better than everybody else, but acts like it too. These are men and women that are taking another day off from work because they're sitting outside of a motor vehicle agency, waiting for the people that they're paying taxes to employ to simply open a door and let them in. And what's worse, little things that I've just learned over the last couple of days, the governor gave 10 furlough days to the folks from the Motor Vehicle Commission that they have to use between June 29th and July 31st, so the day they reopened to start this process. And they got to use all of them in that time in order to qualify for their unemployment. And the cross-training that Chris Christie implemented back when he was governor that would have allowed motor vehicle employees to learn how to do different jobs, well, Phil Murphy ended that practice when he became governor 3 years ago. So now you've got employees who were never trained to do licenses or titles having to start to do that yesterday or the other day when motor vehicle reopened. So it's just been a disaster. It's consistent with the way Governor Murphy has handled everything for the last 3 years. And, that's what I hear from people on the street, Rich. It's just general frustration. And, you know, it's going to come home to roost. It's going to come home to roost in November of 2020, and it's going to come home to roost again in November of 2021.
So you're telling me the doors are not open yet? They're not even opening up early today?
No. Oh, no. I am literally sitting 30 feet away from the door. The line wraps. You know Warren County fairly well. It wraps out of the motor vehicle agency down out to Route 31 and probably 100 yards down 31 if people stand on the side of the road.
You know, I mean, if you were governor, I think probably the first thing you would have done would have said everybody gets to work early tomorrow and stays late, right? I mean, and that's also how the private sector would handle this right now. If you've got this incredible demand, you would make sure the employees have the supply necessary to meet that demand.
You're darn right. And you would have done the legwork before you opened up to make sure that we didn't have this kind of disaster in the first place. And I'll tell you, you know, there was a young girl. They let a whole bunch of people in yesterday. My son was five or six kids from the door getting in when they told him they weren't letting anybody else in. But they probably let in a good 100 people before that. And we were standing there when one young girl walked out with her dad crying because she had been inside for the better part of a half an hour and was told that they had to leave. So they didn't even let the people that got inside yesterday finish up the process. You know, they just shut their computers off at 4:23, by the way, at least by our calculations, and wandered out for the day.
It's unbelievable. Doug Steinhardt is the chairman of the State Republican Committee. Let's talk about the election yesterday. Obviously, it was the first mail-in ballot election yesterday, because we can wait in line for hours and hours to get to go to the DMV, but we can't wait in line for hours and hours, you know, to vote in public. That's a public health threat, apparently. But you can wait outside to go to get your license. But if you were to vote in person, then everybody would get COVID-19 and die, apparently. So it's going to have to be a mail-in ballot election in the fall. How did we do in the primary yesterday?
Well, look, so that's a complicated question. You know, as Republicans, I feel good about where we ended up with our candidates. You know, we're putting some good candidates forward for November, which allow us to continue the momentum that we had in 2019 and elect some Congress members in 2020 to give the president the help he needs, reclaiming control of the House of Representatives. So, you know, that's one. Two, you know, how did we do? The vote by mail, all vote by mail process was as horrendously run as motor vehicle has been. And by that, I mean, look, we have no definitive results just about anywhere. Ballots were still being sent in as of late yesterday. Assuming the Postal Service actually delivers them and they don't go up in flames, as some did in Morris County, or get left in the foyer of an apartment building as they did in Patterson, or get stuffed into bags and delivered in bulk like the Callaways do in Atlantic County. So all sorts of problems up and down of the state, identified by both Republicans and Democrats. Well, I mean, we were joined by Senator Gill, by Senator Sweeney, by Senator Rice, by Democratic senators up and down New Jersey that were crying foul and complaining that the governor was ill-prepared for this all-vote-by-mail process. I don't see that it'll be any better come November. If we're forced into doing so, it'll be a discussion that we have to have as to whether or not we have to launch some sort of legal challenge to make sure that we can get some reliable election results come November, Rich.
Well, you know, Doug, they're doing that in Pennsylvania right now. The Trump campaign and the Pennsylvania GOP, they're suing over the mail-in ballot drop-offs. And, you know, there's real concerns. I talked to the RNC yesterday. I talked to Mercedes Schlapp, who I know you know very well. They're concerned about ballot harvesting. They're concerned about all the things that we as New Jerseyans, Jersey politicos, have dealt with our entire lives as Republicans, seeing the nonsense, seeing what they do. We know firsthand just how easy to manipulate a mail-in ballot election can be. And it seems like they are taking zero steps to protect and make sure that every vote counts, but only counts only once, Doug.
No doubt. And look, you know, you have to be mindful of fighting on too many fronts. If we have to put our eggs in one basket and challenging the vote by mail process in a partisan primary or in the general election, you know, we have to put our eggs in the general election basket, and we'll challenge it then when, in my mind, it really matters, when we're counting Republican ballots versus Democratic ballots. Instead of, you know, just the inter-party elections in a primary. So, you know, we're staying focused on making sure that we have the resources necessary to put up that fight if and when it comes. You know, understanding that all along our function as a state party, at least from my perspective, is electing Republicans. And you don't want to fall victim of that trap of spending all your resources in a courtroom changing rules when you don't control the rulemakers. You know, you want to change the only way you're ever going to effectively change the rules is to elect the rulemakers. So, you know, we need to make sure that we're spending our resources doing what we do best, and that's elect Republicans, win elections, and govern. And that is where our attention and energy and resources are going to be focused.
My friend Doug Steinhardt joins us. Doug is the chairman of the Republican State Committee in New Jersey. He's also a dad, and he's been waiting in line for 24 hours with his 17-year-old son outside the DMV up in Flemington, New Jersey, trying to get his driver's license. Just an absolute mess, travesty. I mean, by the way, if you ever want to preview what socialism is going to look like in America, it's just look at the MVC. Look at it right there.
It's really unfortunate. Like I said, I mean, there's kids sleeping on sleeping bags. We've been here all day. By midnight last night, there are about a dozen and a half kids camped out in front of the motor vehicle. By 2 in the morning, the line wrapped all the way around the building, and by about 5 o'clock, it was out to the road. So, you know, that's what Governor Murphy handed every one of these agencies around the state of New Jersey. And, you know, I don't expect anything different today other than that thousands of families are going to get turned away from motor vehicle offices around the state once again.
Well, there are these whistleblowers that have come out to speak out against the governor and how incompetent he is, and how particularly with the nursing homes and all those awful deaths that occurred there, which is really the leading cause of death within COVID-19 in New Jersey. I know that you've also asked for a federal inquiry into this, Doug. Where does all that stand?
We have. We know that our complaint has been received. It was acknowledged. I mean, that's as much as you're going to get from any law enforcement officer. They're not going to acknowledge or admit whether there's an ongoing or the extent to which an investigation is occurring. But we know that our requests were received both by the U.S. attorney for the District of New Jersey and the Attorney General Barr in Washington. Requests were made at both levels for inquiries to be taken. You know, that if you really want to put a sharp point on just how detrimental and how devastating the governor's just weak leadership and bad judgment has been, you don't have to look any further than the state's 600 and some long-term care facilities and the more than 6,500 veterans and vulnerable New Jerseyans that passed away at the governor's hands.
So with regards to back to the election for a quick second, Doug, I know that in Jeff Van Drew, who's up for re-election, Republican, he switched parties.
Yes.
He's a solid supporter of Trump and the Republican Party. He's now going to face a Kennedy in the fall. That race is going to be one of the probably most watched races in the country, I would think.
I'll put a Van Drew against a Kennedy any day. We had great results. As I said, Jeff Van Drew had a solid performance in CD2. I think that, you know, David Richter's success in CD3 puts us in a position to boot Andy Kim there. Chris Smith will win resoundingly in CD4. I'm not sure yet what's going on in CD5. We're still waiting for those results to come in. And CD7, Tom Kaine, CD11, Rosemary Becky are both strong, solid opponents for Mikey Sherrill and Tom Malinowski. All of those freshman congressmen, people that have promised to go out and be independent on behalf of their constituents and then voted 96, 97, and 98% of the time with Nancy Pelosi.
Doug Steinhardt, chairman of the Republican Party. I'll let you get back to waiting in line with your son to get his license at the MPC in Flemington. Thanks for making the time to call, my friend. Hang in there.
Hey, Rich, it's always great speaking with you. Keep fighting the good fight.
All right, Doug Steinhardt.
Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Absolute friggin' mess. And listen, you know, if you're in Pennsylvania, and I know this is a little bit Jersey heavy today, but this is, first of all, the MVC fiasco here is a great testament to what I mean about when Democrats run things. I want to counter that with an email I got during the break from our buddy P. Munoz, who's down in Georgia. He said, "Good morning, Rich. Just turned in, so maybe you mentioned it, but did you hear that Georgia eliminated driver tests for people due to the pandemic?" So the governor of Georgia, who's a Republican, who's not Stacey Abrams, by the way, and did not cheat and was elected rightfully so, the governor there, Brian Kemp, announced in an April 23rd executive order that provided they meet all other requirements, those holding instructional permits can qualify for their licenses without the comprehensive on-the-road driving test, exactly what we've been talking about. That means that teens can get their license when they turn 16 without getting in a car with a test administrator. But that's irrelevant. The test administrator, they've already been tested. You're just not testing them again. They've already passed the test. That's the kind of thing that what I mean in terms of competence and opening that back up. And then this election, this mail-in ballot fiasco that you see play out, Pennsylvania, New Jersey. This is what we're looking at for November here. And we got a chance to win back the majority in the House of Representatives. You've got a lot of Democrats who are running for re-election, like Doug just said, and it's the same thing over in the Pennsylvania side. These Democrats pledged to be moderates. They voted to impeach the president. They went against the president on everything. They sided with Pelosi. They sided with the liberals in the House. So they're not moderates, and they've got some really strong candidates running against them. And, you know, if you're able to win back the majority in the House and boot Pelosi back to Transylvania, you might have a chance here. I mean, this election, I know that everybody is writing off Donald Trump now based on these polls. I'm telling you, that is a mistake. Don't do it. It's too early. The polls were wrong before. They're going to be wrong again. And when you read beyond the top lines, when you actually dig into the polls, you see the majority of respondents say they trust Trump on the economy more than Joe Biden. That tells you way more than the top line, who's gonna win, because those numbers, especially among registered voters, they're just irrelevant. Bonnie is in Downingtown. Bonnie, good morning.
Good morning. How are you, Rich?
Good, Bonnie. Thanks for the call.
Yeah, I'm a CDL license holder.
So that's a commercial driver's license, right?
That is a commercial driver's license. And I guess it was said before earlier that we're not allowed to renew online, which is absolutely true. I can't imagine why we're not allowed to renew online, considering the fact that, you know, we are professional drivers. I don't do over-the-road trucking. I learned driving a school bus. But we go through more driving training than the average bear, mm-hmm. the average license holder. That's why we have a commercial driver's license. We are professional drivers. Yet we have to jump through more hoops than the average driver. I can tell you, I just sent in my camera card. I'm already 3 months in arrears because I was due in March for my license. I sent in my application the other day. My renewal is going to cost me $98.50 to renew my license in the state of Pennsylvania because I hold a CDL. If I didn't have a CDL, I'm not sure what it would cost me because I haven't had a regular driver's license since 1999. So I don't understand. If we can lose our license basically at the drop of a hat because we have a commercial driver's license, we can lose it. Getting a speeding ticket, we can lose it. But yet we have to jump through so many more hoops than any other driver on the road, and it's ridiculous. It's absolutely unnecessary and ridiculous. Why can't I renew online?
That is crazy. Bonnie, thanks for the update on that.
I'm not trusted.
Well, you should be. I mean, that's the key, and you should be able to renew your license online in this day and age. It's ridiculous. Bonnie, thank you for the call. Drive safe. I appreciate it very much for that update. Thank you.
The Rich Zeoli Show on your schedule. This is the Zeoli Show podcast.
President said he's going to open up schools. He wants schools opened up again. I say good. Last night on Tucker Carlson, the Secretary of Education, Betsy DeVos, was on talking about what they could do to make sure these local school districts actually do open up. Take a listen.
Like the president said today, there is no excuse for schools not to reopen again and for kids to be able to learn again full time. The data doesn't suggest anything different. The medical experts aren't suggesting anything different. And as you pointed out in your opening statement, this is more an issue of adults who are more interested in their own issues than they are about serving their students. It's very right. clear that kids have got to go back to school.
I think that seems absolutely right. And millions of American parents on both sides or no side, non-political people, want this to happen. So can the Department of Education withhold federal funding to schools that won't comply with common sense and science?
Well, that's definitely something to be looked at. The reality is most of the education funding, as you know, comes from the state and local level. So in right. excess of 90% of it does. But what the president and all of those at a roundtable today made very clear is the expectation that kids have got to continue their learning. There is no reason to withhold education, full-time education. And I have to give a shout out to Commissioner Corcoran in Florida for putting forward a very very comprehensive plan yesterday that had an expectation that all students would be able to be back in school in person 5 days a week, and then giving a lot of latitude as to how schools deal with special situations. You know, I think if nothing else, this whole coronavirus has made more and more parents aware of what's going on in their own children's schools or what isn't going on. I think right here in suburban D.C., one of the most elite public school districts in the country, over $16,000 per student per year. They had an absolute disaster this spring. And now this fall, they're suggesting that as a way to start school again, you can choose 0 days a week for your child to be in school or 2 days a week. That's not a choice. That's a pretense of a choice. So more and more families are at a point of demanding that their right. kids could be able to continue to learn, and they want more options and choices for their kids, too.
I'll tell you something else, too, with regards to that. Thank you for that. When Tucker says the science, right, the American Academy of Pediatricians put out a letter, and they said that kids need to go back to school. The consensus of pediatricians is open up schools this fall. So again, we're always told by Democrats, we always hear from the left all the time, Republicans are not the party of science. They reject the science. The president doesn't believe in science, blah, 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 blah. And what they do is they distract you with nonsense. Take the mask argument, for example. You really can't go into a store without a mask because the stores are requiring them. So what they do is they create a straw man argument. Do you support a mask mandate or not? Let's say you don't. Try going to the store. See how that works out for you. Try going to the grocery store. Try going to Costco. Try going to Walmart. Try going to any of these other places. They all require them. So what they do is they get everybody in a frenzy over something that really, truly is not a real issue. Because it's not as if you have the ability to not wear one if you want to go to a place of commerce. Now, there might be stores that won't enforce it, but they won't enforce it whether it's a mandate or not, right? So what they do is they get everybody in a frenzy yelling about masks, and then they go, science, 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 science. Don't you believe in science? Meanwhile, actual doctors write a letter saying, open up schools this fall because kids don't really get the coronavirus. They don't spread it very well, and they certainly don't get sick from it. And what the bigger risk is the isolation, the loneliness, the depression, everything else if kids stay home. That's actual science. And then what does the left do? They turn around and go, well, we don't know if schools can be open. We don't know. In other words, they ignore the actual science from the American Academy of Pediatricians. This is not a group of the American Academy of Concerned Moms or the American Academy of Soccer Dads or the American Academy of the Hand Sanitizer Generation. This is pediatricians, people who deal with children every day. And they're saying reopen schools. But instead, the media and the left will ignore that, completely ignore that. You probably haven't even heard that. And then they'll go on with this dumb face mask argument. You don't really have a choice because companies are requiring them. Think about that. This whole argument is nothing. This is not a real argument. This is what makes me crazy about this whole mask argument is that it's not really an argument. I go into ShopRite, ShopRite requires it. If tomorrow Phil Murphy said, we're not putting in a mask mandate, they're still going to require it because they want to protect their employees. They don't want customers getting sick. So that's the deal. Now, if a competing grocery store opens up without face masks, well, you can see how that does in the private sector. I think a lot of people would still go to the one that does. But this is a fake argument again. It's a fake argument. And it's the same thing now with, you know, Phil Murphy comes out yesterday and says, we may have a mask mandate in New Jersey. Tom Wolf says outdoor mask mandate. Let me ask you a question. You're walking down the street without a mask. Does some sort of a mask SWAT team appear out of space to arrest you or put one on your face? Is there a camera that spies on you and then sends you a mask letter or a mask in the mail? No, it's voluntary guidance because really the truth is, how do you even enforce it, right? You had to even enforce it. This is it. It's again, it's one of those fake debates. My company requires me to wear a mask when I'm in the building. I've got to wear one. I go to the grocery store, I got to wear one. I go to Walmart, I got to wear one. I go to Costco, I got to wear one. They're not changing that anytime soon. They are not changing that anytime soon because they want to keep their employees safe and their customers safe. But instead, you turn on the television. Mask, mask, mask. Why do you Republicans reject the mask science? Why don't you want a mandate? It's a fake argument. If tomorrow Trump came out and said, all right, I want a national mask mandate. What the hell does that mean? What does that change exactly? Nothing. Doesn't change a damn thing. But this is what they do. And meanwhile, though, they get everybody in a frenzy. So everybody's fighting on Twitter about face masks. There's not a store that will let you in without one. Not because it's a mandate, because that's their policy now. And then when you hear from the American Academy of Pediatricians say open up schools again, you don't hear about it because that's actual science. See what I mean? And we fall for this every time. It's like the left knows exactly how to get us primed up and fired up to distract us from what we should really be focusing on, which is here it is July 8th. Schools are supposed to open up in a couple of weeks. And this, we don't know if they're going to yet. We don't have solid commitments yet. Why not? Why not? If the masks work so well, what's the issue? If social distancing works so well, what's the issue? We still don't have commitments yet. We don't know if our kids are going back to school. We don't know. So, you know, I think it's really smart of the administration to come out and say, we're pushing for this. We're going to fight for this. And science is on our side here. We've got the American Academy of Pediatricians on our side. We've got the science on this one, and we're going to run full steam on it. And so then what the media will do is they'll go back to this phony debate on face masks. You think if tomorrow Murphy came out and said, I'm requiring face masks in public, what does that change exactly? He even admitted there's no way to enforce it. It's like this phony quarantine that they've set up. You know why they talk about this quarantine, right? It's a fugazi. There's no real quarantine. You can come to the state from any state in the country and you're supposed to voluntarily quarantine yourself. How do they know if you've quarantined yourself? They don't. Unless you are enforcing something, it's simply a suggestion. It's not a mandate. It's a suggestion. Now, yeah, you could be caught and you'd have to go before a judge and a judge could order you quarantine, but you'd have lawyers involved. You'd have to have medical data involved. It would be a process. You'd have due process. See what I mean? But again, they get everybody frenzied in a fired up way about, oh my God, now he's making people from Delaware have to quarantine for 14 days. No, he's not. There are people going to Delaware every single day to go to work and to buy stuff and coming back to New Jersey, and Delawareans are coming to Jersey to work. Tell me where the checkpoints are today that are going to stop cars coming into New Jersey from Delaware to ask them about their coronavirus history. They aren't, period. These are fake fights the left creates all the time to get people fired up and in a frenzy to distract you. I'm telling you, it's to distract you. Meanwhile, the teachers unions are all behind the scenes now pressuring Democrat governors to keep schools closed. I'm not wrong on this stuff. I know how these people play these games. These are games. These are well-orchestrated political games. These teachers unions are political activists is what they are. And that's why I don't even get into the mass debate on Twitter anymore, because it's a stupid argument. It's a fake, not real argument. The private sector has decided on this. And you know what? If there are stores that don't really require it, then they don't require it. You're going to walk in and they're not going to call the cops on you. And they're going to be like, you know, wink, wink about it. That doesn't change. Enough already with this. Focus on what they're really trying to do here. They're going to try to keep schools closed. They're going to try to shut businesses down again. I'm telling you right now. I'm telling you. Despite all of the medical data that's coming out, the CDC said on Friday, and nobody talked about this either, because again, we're too busy yelling about how racist Trump is and whether or not he should wear a mask and whether or not he should mandate a mask policy. The CDC on Friday came out and said they may reclassify COVID-19 from a pandemic to an epidemic, the flu's an epidemic, for example. We've got lots of things that are epidemics. That would be a major change, right? If that happens, doesn't that strip away these governors and their unilateral executive authority where they act like kings and have no oversight whatsoever? You're damn right it does. Damn right it does, because now they can't, you could never have a governor act like this because of the flu. Or the common cold, or any of the other diseases, or cancer. Pick your poison, and then tell me a governor could get away with acting like this with unilateral executive authority and no oversight. You can't, right? I mean, obesity is an epidemic in America, an epidemic. But if the CDC were to reclassify the coronavirus as a from a pandemic to an epidemic, and now you go to court, and you sue and say this governor needs to give up the executive authority, you got a much stronger case there. Have you heard about that? No, you haven't. Why not? Because you get distracted. Like, look, 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 shiny object. Look, look, look. Should Trump have a mask mandate? What the hell does a mask mandate do? It's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. What does that do exactly? You know, this is what I mean. It's like I get so frustrated with the stuff that we wind up focusing on. And meanwhile, the little games they all play on the side. They are preparing to, A, shut down this economy again, these states. I'm telling you right now. B, they are prepared to not open schools again. They are working on a way to either open them and then close them again or not open them at all. And C, they are working on ways to extend their unilateral executive power indefinitely. And the truth is, everything I've told you from day one about this is a way to seize power and a way for them to usher in more and more socialism, because more people will be dependent on government, more people will need government. Here is the proof that you need. Not that you need proof, because I know you never doubt me, and you never should. But here is a Seattle councilman, all right, Seattle councilman here, from the city of Seattle, says, we will not stop. Ready? This is an elected official here, Democrat, obviously. Cut three.
I have a message for Jeff Bezos and his class. If you attempt again to overturn the Amazon tax, working people will go all out in the thousands to defeat you. And we will not stop there, because you see, we are fighting for far more than this tax. We are preparing the ground for a different kind of society. And if you, Jeff Bezos, want to drive that process forward by lashing out against us in our modest demands, then so be it, because we are coming for you and your rotten system. We are coming to dismantle this deeply oppressive, racist, sexist, violent, utterly bankrupt system of capitalism, this police state. We cannot and will not stop until we overthrow it and replace it with a world based instead on solidarity, genuine democracy, and equality, a socialist world. Thank you.
That's an elected official right there. And I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, yeah, but come on, that's an anomaly, right? Is it? Do you realize that Bernie Sanders yesterday in the New Jersey primary got about 20% of the vote against Joe Biden? I'm sorry, about 20,000 votes yesterday? He almost became the nominee for the Democrat Party. Is it really an anomaly to think that Democrats want socialism, want to overthrow capitalism and bring in socialism? And is it not obvious to you that the control that they're exercising in every single way right now leads into that thinking? More people becoming dependent on government, more people needing government, more people needing aid and rescue and help. And Steve Sweeney, the coward Senate president in New Jersey, little Mr. Chicken, tough guy, iron worker, he tweets out yesterday, don't worry, bars and restaurants, the legislature will come in and save you. Translation, I'm too much of a coward to stand up to Governor Phil Murphy and join the Republicans in pulling back his executive authority. So what we'll do is we'll just bail you all out with money we don't have. Heck, freaking coward. 855-839-1210. 855-839-1210.
Thanks for taking the Zeoli Show with you. Rich Zeoli. Weekday mornings on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
All right, a lot of people want to weigh in on this fiasco at the DMV, the election fiasco yesterday, and everything else that's going on. Let me start with Simon in Carolina. Hey, Simon.
Hello, Rick.
What's up? Hello, are you there? Okay, I don't know if you're there. Sorry about that. Trying to call back. I didn't hear you. Let's go to Chris is in South Jersey. Hey, Chris. Hello?
Something's wrong.
All right. Hey, Millennial, can you fix the freaking phones?
Yep, we're looking into it. Hang on. All right. Now
he's got a wrench. He's trying.
Here we go. Try another
call. I had to drop those calls. Nice. Call back, people. Call back. All right, did you fix it now?
Yeah, let's try it again. Try another call.
All right, let's try Vince in Doylestown. Hey, Vince.
Hey, Rich, can you hear me?
I can hear you, buddy. Go ahead.
Thanks. Love the show. My quick point is, with this big movement to defund the police, how about defunding refunding or even a reduction in school taxes, since we want to keep our kids out of school? And also, is anybody looking at the collective bargaining agreement with these teachers' unions? I'm sure there's some kind of clause that requires them to have certain amount of days on the job. I mean, this is, of course, a unique situation, but I'm sure with some bright legal minds, they could come up with some kind of reason to reduce their pay. And if that's the case, I'm sure that would put some pressure on them and the teachers union as well.
Well, it's a great point. And, you know, the problem is, and Vinny, thanks for the call, Vince. I appreciate it. The problem is that these Democrats are so in bed with the teachers unions and all the money that they get for their campaigns that they wind up just saying yes to everything they possibly have. And you're never going to get your property taxes back. I'm just letting you know that. That's never going to happen. So I wish it would. Believe me, I pay too much in property taxes, but let's not hold our breath for that. Chris in South Jersey. Hey, Chris.
Hey, Rich, I wanted to call about the election yesterday, but I'm also a teacher as well, too, and I agree with you. The schools need to be opened up right away. I was on a Twitter war yesterday with our AFT president, and she refused to answer the question whether or not she supports schools to be open. In the meantime, she continuously bashed the president and how he was doing nothing about opening the schools or opening schools safely. So I agree with you that the teacher unions are definitely a problem in this country.
Thank God for teachers like you, by the way.
I'm trying to make plans for the summer, figuring out how to teach the kids, figuring out how to do different spaces now, or even be on a modified schedule. I need to figure out what to do, and this is the summer that I use that time to do it. But furthermore, the elections in New Jersey yesterday were an absolute joke. Go to the polling place yesterday. There's a Bill of Rights that says you have a right to a voting booth. We go in there, and there's only paper provisional ballots. I call the Department of Elections. They say, well, it's circumstances. It's what happens. Yeah, you can have a DMV line that's as long as a Venezuelan bread line. I don't understand how this election could be this messed up, and we're going into November only in a few months, and they think that it's going to be perfectly okay and legal then as well, too.
Yeah, it's a great point. And you know what breaks my heart about this phone call is it confirms my fear, which is that the teachers unions don't want schools to reopen in the fall.
I don't think they do. I really don't think they do. Our school has taken an enormous amount of plans of devising different schedules and coming up with ideas. But I'm scared that they're not going to go back to school. And I'm even fearful for my daughter going into the first grade that she's going to be missing the education that she needs, and she needs to be there every day.
Chris, thank you, buddy. I appreciate the phone call and appreciate your time today. Thank you very much for it. 855-839-1210. You know, it's the kind of thing where when the flu comes back and the common cold comes back and you still have the coronavirus, I mean, look at how these governors are reacting to just spikes in cases that are not attached to deaths. And spikes in cases where you've got healthy people and they're recovering and the death rate has fallen tremendously, but they're still reacting in a mindset of closure. I'm just saying, you know, the politics of this are very glaringly obvious here. The science is on the side of opening up the schools. I am not a pediatrician. So when the American Academy of Pediatricians puts out a letter and says, open up schools, I have to defer to them because I'm not a pediatrician. Although I do play one on TV. Zioli, pediatrician, coming tonight, TNT at 6 p.m. No, not so much. I think it'd be a hit show.
You know what? Actually, speaking of TNT, obviously, you know, we cannot go to movie theaters anymore. And the preview that we always get in when we go to the theater, the weird, like, behind-the-scenes show, that would be a good show, Zioli, pediatrician.
Zioli, pediatrician.
Yeah. Get the behind the scenes look on how that they make the TV show before we go see the new movie in the theaters.
I like it. I mean, right? This could be a hit show, Dawn. I'm telling you. I'm not a lawyer. I play one on television too. I basically play Dr. Maz, a lawyer and a doctor.
Only Dr. Maz can fill those shoes.
Only Dr. Maz can fill Dr. Maz's shoes.
You would need Dr. Maz as a EP, executive producer, to keep you in line, to make sure you're doing the right stuff, as the pediatrician. Be like, no, you wouldn't. Here's the Z-Pack. No, we just, stuff like that.
Yeah. No, exactly right. It'd be my questions to the moms, you know, early on would be like, so do you actually do yoga or do you just wear yoga pants? And I would get a letter, you know, yep. A censure letter. I'd get in trouble for that.
Yes.
Maz would step in and be like, we can't ask that.
Can't ask that question. When you go to Wegmans and you wear yoga pants, do you have a matching mask that is also made of yoga pants? And do you buy them as a set? These are the questions that I want to know. Inquiring minds want to know.
Well, it's a good idea.
I definitely have noticed a uptick in matching of masks, the outfit that people are wearing.
It's a fashion accessory now, right, yeah. Dawn? I mean, it's like the matching, you get the floral dress with the matching face covering.
I know. And they can charge more. They start at like $12 for those matching ones.
My wife bought, I won't say the company, she bought a mask for $16.
That's nothing.
Yeah.
But I was still annoyed. I'm like, $16 for a mask? How much protective is it actually giving you?
Well, they sell separate filters that you can put in there.
Yeah.
Which is cool.
That, I mean, honestly, somebody should start a mask. This is the time now to make money off this stuff. You know what I mean? And Big Mask is all behind this. The lobbying efforts of Big Mask is huge right now. Dawn, how are we looking on this hump day Wednesday?
Oh, my goodness. There is so much going on. Good morning. This is Yoli Show News Live. We have, 77 degrees, another hot, humid day ahead this Wednesday, July 8th. Yoli Show News Live, sponsored by Hint Water. So New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy is now considering, get ready for this, joining Pennsylvania in mandatory mask wearing if you leave home. So Murphy pushing for this national mask mandate. President Trump says it's voluntary and it's up to the states, citing states' rights. Governor Wolf says get ready to wear a mask in Pennsylvania at all times in public, outdoors, indoors, that sort of thing.
Indoors, in your house, in your shower.
In the shower, yeah.
Yeah, in the shower. While you're having relations.
Which could be kind of freaky. But Governor Wolf says get ready to wear the mask until a vaccine. Until a COVID-19 mask or vaccine is here, wear a mask. I mean, that's crazy. We've been talking all morning, and this is continuing. It has gone viral with people sending, and please send us your pictures if you're standing in line at a Motor Vehicle Commission location in New Jersey right now. Lines with thousands and thousands of people this morning. That's what we're being told in line at these motor vehicle centers. In the heat, and it's going to be a hot, humid day to renew licenses or file other documents. So here's the thing. You want to check the website because if you're expired, you have some, they're giving you some extra time. So up to maybe September 30th, depending on the expiration date. So make sure you check out the website. I will give out the officer of the governor because I'm being asked for it. 609-292-6000. So it's the officer of
609-292-JERK.
6000.
609-I. How do you spell incompetent? Too many letters. So, never mind.
Pennsylvania started opening the driver's license centers back in May, but I'm seeing on social media people are sending their pictures too.
Yeah.
So think ahead. Somebody mentioned,
why did it ever close, Dawn? I don't understand this. It's an essential service. People need licenses, and it's a requirement from the state. Why would they have ever closed in the first place?
A lot of people, I mean, that's a lot of people are just wondering this. It's a mess. Somebody brought up Real ID. Real ID has been extended, for example, in Pennsylvania until the fall of 2021. So they've pushed back Real ID. So you don't have to worry about that right now.
So on the federal level, so I don't have to worry about it at the airport?
Right. That's what they're saying. So that's a good, that's some good news I can give you. And we also have, let's see, public schools. We have an announcement, actually, that Philadelphia public school students will return to classrooms this fall in some capacity. So that word from Superintendent William Height Jr. So this is Philadelphia public schools. Precautions and social distancing and all the details are being worked out, he says, right now. And he plans to release this information within the next 10 days. So we'll watch that one. Mary Kay Letourneau, national headlines, that married teacher. Remember, she was the sixth grade elementary teacher back in the day in the mid-90s, and she hooked up with her 12-year-old student. She was convicted of rape and sent to jail. She ended up with her 12-year-old student for about 20 years. She has died at the age of 58 of cancer. So that one making national news.
She married the 12-year-old?
Yes, Well, she was caught with the 12-year-old having relations, got pregnant with his baby. This is so sick. Oof. She was then convicted in court, spent 7 years behind bars, and the boy, Vili Falau, he ended up waiting for her and then married her. She divorced her husband, who she had four kids with, and then she ended up marrying he was obviously then older because she spent 7 years in jail and they had two daughters together. It's just a bizarre story, but She died in her 50s, died at 58 of cancer. Huh. So, oof. EPA names, this is a bizarre story, EPA names two spray products that kill coronavirus on surfaces or in the air in just 2 minutes. So tests show, according to the EPA, Lysol disinfectant spray or Lysol Max cover mist, which you can't find anywhere. Like, I go every day I go to try to find Lysol. It's nowhere. But anyway.
You know what's so funny is back in March, I went and bought a couple different bottles of Lysol, and I was going to return them because I was like, I don't need all this Lysol.
Are you crazy?
Thank God I didn't return them, right?
No, because they would have loved it.
I know.
No, people fight over it. But so the EPA continues to, those were the two first products named. But you can go to EPA.gov. It's a great website, and they have all the information in there.
It's my homepage.
I look at these sites like CDC.gov. I live for these. That's the nerd in me. It is National Video Game Day, which every day in my house with my kids is National Video Game Day. But superhero video games, I'm sure Stalker, because he's on vacation, I'm thinking of him. He's probably celebrating National Video Game Day. Franklin Institute reopens today in Philadelphia. And tomorrow, the zoo, Philadelphia Zoo, reopening to the public. This week, it started with reopenings for members only. So let's get to the NBC 10 First Alert forecast. I feel so badly for everybody in line. I mean, thousands and thousands of people in these lines trying at the motor vehicle centers in New Jersey, because it's just a miserable day. It's 89 degrees is the high technically, but it's going to feel like it's 95, 96 degrees with the heat and the humidity. So you got to be careful if you're out there. Bring lots of water if you're headed out. 60% chance of rain this afternoon. Tomorrow, 92 degrees, partly sunny, only about a 10% chance of rain tomorrow for your Thursday. But that's going to change for Friday. The high will only be 80 degrees, but that's because we have an 80% chance of rain. So the rain is going to cool things off. And over the weekend, partly sunny, not as much rain and less humidity, but still a hot weekend ahead. So let's talk about our sponsor. This is Hint Water. You want to drink lots of water if you're out and about to rehydrate. Hint is pure water infused with surprisingly true fruit flavors, watermelon, blackberry, cherry. No sugar, sweeteners, or calories. Available in your local grocery store or drinkhint.com. Hint Water with a touch of true fruit flavor. I'm Dawn. This is Yoli Show News Live. You can always find us on the radio.com app.
All right, Dawn, thank you very much. 855-839-1210. If you are stuck at the MVC DMV, I want to hear your story. Give a call if you've had to deal with that. 855-839-1210.
You're in the middle of 60 minutes of nonstop talk. The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Glenn is in Nazareth, PA. Glenn, good morning. What's up?
Good morning, Rich. Hey, the Wolf outdoor mask mandate actually says you don't have to wear that mask outdoors if you can stay 6 feet away from another person. Most people actually want to stay 6 feet away from most other people. So what good is that mask mandate? And it's not enforceable, even if it didn't say that.
Yeah, well, you know what? People are going to do what they believe they need to do to keep themselves and other people safe. And these what happens with these mandates is they become it's done for politics. You know that. I know that. I mean, it's done for politics, right?
Yeah. And I wear a mask when I go in stores because it's a mandate and it's polite. But other than that, I'm going to the beach. My wife and I are going to the beach in about 10 minutes. And we're not going to wear a mask on the beach, you know, and nor are we going to wear masks on the golf course. It's crazy. Hey, well, very nice talking to you.
Very nice talking to you as well. I trust people will do the right thing. I trust people will make the right decisions. I think this mask debate it's a phony debate. It's not a real debate because I already went in on this earlier, but companies have made the decision that they require them now and that's it. But this is driven by politics because they want to try to say Trump is anti-science because he's not doing a national mandate. And if he did one tomorrow, you think the left's going to what? Ease up the throttle on that? Give me a break, please. You have to think of the games that they play and why they play these games. They play these games for a reason. If you go into a store and you say, I'm not wearing a mask, they're going to kick you out. And if they, if you put up a fight, you're going to wind up like this guy who just did this at Costco, losing your job because your company's going to find out and they're going to fire you. And I mean, this whole argument is nonsense. It is simply about, once again, it's the Republicans are anti-science myth. But meanwhile, the Republicans are backing the science that says open up schools. Open up schools in the fall, the American Academy of Pediatricians. Here's some other stories for you today, by the way. The security around Ghislaine Maxwell, highest ever security team monitoring her every move as officials vow to keep Epstein, the Epstein pal alive in prison, in jail. She's been transferred to New York's tough metropolitan detention center ahead of her high court profile hearing. A law enforcement source has revealed prison officials in charge of the MDC in Brooklyn are determined to avoid a similar fate with Maxwell that occurred with Epstein, you know, the suicide. They want to make sure that she'll stand trial, a source told the New York Post. The Bureau of Prisons doesn't want another black eye. She'll be guarded by the highest security available while behind bars. She'll be shadowed by prison officers. When she moves around the jail, and a surveillance camera will be trained on her cell, according to the insider. Until that glitch happened. I don't know what happened there. It was like a glitch. Look at that. You got to tap it. Look at that.
Jimmy, it's your shift. You got to watch Ghislaine.
Jimmy, look at this glitch. It lasts like 8 seconds. Oh, she's dead? What the hell?
Oh, gosh.
The DVD recording is scratched up.
I don't understand. I told you, check the disc for scratches before you put it in there. Who put the Jaws DVD in here? Now they don't have security footage. Jimmy, what, you wanted to watch Jaws for the 800th time last night instead of guarding the prisoner?
What were we talking about yesterday with the tabs on the old VHS tapes?
Yes.
That was.
Why don't you act like it's new instead of regurgitating something?
Yeah.
Oh, fine.
Millennial.
What is it, your first doing first show?
As the interim executive producer, I guess. The first
interim. You know.
I don't know.
Or what you could do is just go with the bit that I'm doing instead of trying to get the host off of the bit.
I was trying to keep
to
it
try
going.
To do your own bit. Aww. When you have the millennial show, then you could do your own little bit and bring up has-been bits, lesser bits. How about that?
I like that name, though.
You like that name, the millennial?
The millennial show.
So, but when it's my show, what you should do is when I'm doing a bit, either join in the bit or not join in the bit, but don't try to do a different bit. Or you're going to wind up like Ghislaine Maxwell.
Let me write this down. End just up like
the two people now on watch, millennial and Ghislaine.
Dawn seems to be my new best friend. She's supposed to be standing up to me.
I like it. Dawn's coming home now.
Because
the loyalty, she's coming back now.
Now she's going to start
sick
broadcasting
of being in there with you
no,
now after
sorry.
All these months.
Too funny.
She's going to start broadcasting from home. I'm going to be all alone here. Greg's never coming home. Never coming back.
We think Stocker will be back next week, but we're not sure. I think he'll be back on Monday, which is good.
We'll see what happens.
Let's see. Now, we also have some other headlines here. We've got the World Health Organization praising China for handling of the bubonic plague, says it's carefully monitoring the situation.
Oh, good Lord.
I swear this sounds like a Babylon Bee or an Onion story.
It does.
Right?
And they show.
They're praising Beijing for their handling of the bubonic plague. They're going, oh, they got it covered. It's well managed. Nothing to worry about. Let's move on.
Oh, gosh. Otherwise known as the Black Plague, because your skin start your like fingernails or something turn like
I don't think you can
ashy.
Call it the Black Plague anymore.
What? Oh, gee. The ashy gray plague or something.
The ashy gray plague. That works better.
Sounds much better.
Yeah, I got the ashy gray plague again.
That sounds really nasty.
I mean, does anybody find the irony in this that the same World Health Organization that told us in January, China's got this coronavirus thing handled. They're good. They're good. They got it handled. We're okay. Does anybody else find it ironic that now they're saying that they got this bubonic plague thing good? It's okay. It's good.
Gosh. It's found in... Here's the problem with it. It spreads through fleas and wild rodents, even chipmunks.
Well,
so
wow.
That's how it spreads.
Chipmunks?
Yes. Yeah.
Alvin, Simon, and Theodore have the bubonic plague. Not only do they have an annoying, squeaky voice, they also have the plague.
Rabbits,
look at that.
Squirrels.
I think it's just the fact that the World Health Organization has the term. Like, I equate the WHO with the prison guards that are watching Ghislaine Maxwell. We got this. Yeah, we did a great job last time. Nothing's going to happen to her. It's all good. Trust us. Unbelievable. What else do we have here, too? Oh, and movie theaters. You know, we've talked a lot about movie theaters.
Yes.
Movie theaters are citing Chief Justice John Roberts in a lawsuit. They're saying if churches can reopen, so can we. They're arguing on First Amendment grounds. because the 29-page lawsuit filed in federal court on Monday claims the New Jersey closure of movie theaters is unconstitutional and unlawful because it makes unconstitutional and unlawful distinctions in allowing certain places of public assembly to reopen while requiring movie theaters to remain closed. In other words, what the state is doing is they're not being fair across the board. The government-mandated total closure of movie theaters is both unfair and unreasonable. It is multiple violations of the Fifth Amendment, First Amendment, 14th Amendment, and the state constitution as well. The lawsuit complains that the new phased reopening schedule is effectively stalled in stage two. They say Murphy's social distancing exception for religious services issued in late June, which provides that outdoor religious services are exempt from the limit on outdoor gatherings. They say that if that is preferential disparate treatment, the lawsuit argues, violates the First Amendment's prohibition against the government's respecting of an establishment of religion. Governor Murphy has a legal obligation to promulgate orders that treat the entities in a like matter and not to create arbitrary or irrational distinctions, particularly where First Amendment rights are at stake. Although Murphy has issued orders allowing other public assemblies, such as religious services and ceremonies, to open, they have withheld approval for movie theaters, which are similarly situated, if not less of a risk from a public health perspective. The lawsuit cites an exacting constitutional standard of review in an attempt to beat back the state's distinction between religious gatherings and movie going. There is no rational basis for distinction between, for example, places of worship and movie theaters for the purposes of reopening, yet Murphy has allowed places of worship to reopen while movie theaters remain closed. But if churches, synagogues, mosques, and other places of worship are allowed to flout otherwise applicable social distancing suggestions, the movie theater should be allowed to do the same. Now, what's interesting about this, of course, because you're probably thinking to yourself, wait a minute, movie theaters are not the same as church, but they're both protected by the First Amendment because movie theaters provide a venue for thought to be put out. And so that argument of saying, now, again, you're being arbitrary, right? Newsrooms are allowed to be open. Churches are allowed to be open. But movie theaters, which also provides expression, is not allowed to be open. So you're not being consistent across the First Amendment. I would say that would apply to theaters, movie theaters, live stage shows, concerts, anything where people have an expression of art, which is also protected under the free exercise clause, the free speech clause, but then also the free exercise clause of the First Amendment as well. So that is a fascinating issue that we'll continue to watch on that as well. 855-839-1210. Have you been stuck at the MVC? Are you in hell over there? Let me know your story. We want to hear from you. 855-839-1210.
Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.